Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol as we kick things off in the Premier League. The early game on Saturday gave us quite the surprise as Bournemouth beat Liverpool by 1-0. Billing's goal proving to be the difference in the 28th minute. Salah missed the penalty properly in the second half, meaning that all the goodwill, all the excitement after Liverpool's 7-0 thrashing of Manchester United is dead. Don Hutchison joins us as well to reflect on this result. We'll start though with you, Stevie. What the heck happened?
Do you know what? Last week we spoke about how good the front three were. They all got a double.
Yep.
Everything's rosy. Everybody's back. Well, today they had to do the job and they didn't do it. You know, what was going on behind them, their job was to get them the ball in the final third, and they had 70% of the ball. And they didn't do the job. Your three front men today did not do the job. 15 shots is plenty of shots, by the way. You only get 6 on target. And I'm actually trying to remember if there was a proper save. Mm. So, yeah, this is down to the front men. Now, listen, you lose a goal. And actually, the defence, every time Bournemouth did break, looked a little wobbly.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is a performance that we've seen quite a lot from Liverpool.
So the United game was an anomaly?
Well, I think if you look at the big picture, what we saw today is more of an outline of what Liverpool are as opposed to what we saw last week. So, yes, it was a surprise, but the more you think about it, should it have been? Because we've seen it before this year.
In some sense, it made it a bigger embarrassment for Man U.
Right.
The way that they capitulated, little old Bournemouth, who were joint bottom of the table, being struck. All right, put a good performance up last week against Arsenal. We're very unlucky when Arsenal came back and won at the end. But come on, that was embarrassing from Liverpool again. And as Stevie said, that's kind of the Liverpool we've been accustomed to this year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just shows you how poor Man United were to capitulate in that manner when Bournemouth.
Have you turned this into an anti-Manchester United conversation?
Well, you brought up Man United.
Well, yes, because obviously they went into it winning 7-0.
Yeah, which I'm trying to tell you, the fact that Bournemouth can keep Liverpool to a clean sheet and Man United it could have been double figures tells you how embarrassing their performance was last week.
Done. So different narratives, obviously, from both sides. As Craig mentioned, obviously, Arsenal coming from behind to beat Bournemouth, Liverpool thrashing United. You imagine the mentality of both of these teams would be in such different places, yet it was Bournemouth who was stronger across the 90 minutes.
Yeah, but therein lies the problem, Dan, because I think Liverpool winning 7 last week, they probably thought they were going to waltz into this game and beat little old Bournemouth, bottom of the league. So they were complacent. I thought the two centre-backs, like Stevie said, looked a bit wobbly. They were reacting instead of smelling the danger. Nunez was ineffective. Salah obviously missed the penalty, but never really got a kick. Gakpo as well. I looked at the game, Dan, watching the game today. And it looked like a game that was the carbon copy of the Nottingham Forest game, where Virgil van Dijk could have scored 3 in that game, could have scored 2 today. But I mean, the performance was so dull and so poor. And I looked, and when I seen the team sheets come in, I thought he's gambled there, Jurgen Klopp. He's gambled by playing Bacicic and Harvey Elliott alongside Fabinho. And I looked at the team that he played against Forest, and he played Carvalho, Jones and Elliott and Fabinho in the middle. So when I looked at this team, I thought they can be fragile because I know what it's like when you play for Liverpool, when you've got people like Steve McMahon and Ronnie Whelan alongside you, then all of a sudden you've got Jamie Redknapp and one other alongside you. It can be difficult. But as Stevie said, it was just a really inept performance. I've never seen Nunez look so quiet. Mm. And what that tells me is when they beat Man United 7 last week and obviously lost the game today, it tells me that we should expect this from Liverpool because when the front three are flying and they're chaotic in a good way, they can batter anyone. But when they're chaotic and they've got no rhythm and they're not fluid, they can put that type of performance in.
But what was the gamble, Don? I mean, Harvey Elliott was brilliant last week.
He was.
Just had some game time.
Yeah, I just got the feeling, Craig, because he only made one change from the Man United game, and that was Bacicic coming in for Jordan Henderson. But I just got the feeling that he went young alongside Fabinho, and I think it needs... Because Jurgen Klopp said, I think, a couple of days ago that Liverpool are like a fragile flower. And I think that's still what they are. And when you put two young kids who don't know the game and they're still learning their trade and they're still learning how to play the game and learning how to play for Liverpool, then you take them into an away ground where they've probably not played too many times there. I would have felt more comfortable if Jordan Henderson and Fabinho played than one or the other, either Bacicic or Harvey Elliott. The fact that he went with two, maybe the team lineups come in and Bournemouth are thinking, he's gambled there and we can get at them.
I would have felt more comfortable if Virgil van Dijk had defended properly.
Yeah, what's going
again,
on there?
For the umpteenth time. I would have felt better if Trent Alexander-Arnold, who got a lot of praise last week, even knew there was a player coming in.
Yeah.
He stood there. I mean, I'm not saying he can pick two players up because there was two, but he had no idea. Just no idea. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't look at that Liverpool lineup and say, that doesn't say to me gamble. It says to me one change from last week. That's all. This is just a bad performance. They're going to Bournemouth. Little old Bournemouth, who they absolutely wrecked early in the season. So it was just, this wasn't team selection. This was just team performance.
Salah's penalty?
Oh, horrible. Awful. I can't remember the last time I saw a ball go so wide from a penalty kick. Listen, I get it when you put it over the crossbar, but to go so wide, I mean, they were lucky to get the penalty in the first place, and then you've got to take advantage of it. And didn't take advantage. They never took advantage of one situation in this entire game. And actually, if you look at Man City, for long periods, Man City today, for me, kind of looked like Liverpool going forward. They never looked like they were going to score. Mm. It was all slow and they weren't creating anything. But you know what? They got one opportunity, pretty much, and they took advantage of it.
Liverpool have lost 10 games away from home this season, Stevie.
But it's not... Is it really... Here's the thing. Under normal circumstances, Liverpool losing to the team at the bottom of the league so ineptly, we would be like, what is... I mean, it's right. Not unusual anymore.
I suppose the reason it's unusual is because what happened last weekend, wasn't it? And we were talking about turning a corner, and things clicking and momentum and top four and things like that.
But we should have known better.
Right.
We should have known better.
Right.
Because all season they've been inconsistent and they very rarely performed the way they did against Man United. So for us to all of a sudden think that, oh, this is going to be the new norm, today was just a realisation of where Liverpool actually are right now. This is what they are. Yes, they're better than Bournemouth, but they're not that much better than they should be. That's the problem. They're just not.
We'll talk about the relevance of this result with regards to the top four race in a moment. But before we do that, let's reflect on what happened between Spurs and Nottingham Forest. Spurs, of course, coming into this game off the back of three straight defeats. They would beat Forest, though, by 3-1. Harry Kane with a brace. Son scoring as well in the second half. Don, I heard you on the call for this game. It was a good start from Spurs. It kind of set the standard, wasn't it?
Yeah, they played well today, Dan. I mean, they were up against a Forest side that I thought were really, really poor, and they made it easy for Tottenham, but they still played well. Harry Kane obviously got his couple of goals, and as you said, Son scored. I thought Højbjerg, and I my man of the match today was Oliver Skipp in the middle of the park. I thought he was spraying balls everywhere, but he was given so much time. I mean, this is a great header from Harry Kane. Richarlison was in the team, interestingly. I thought that was a good call from Antonio Conte. Worrell diving in, stupid penalty. You know, he's never going to get there. Kane dinks it down the middle, and they were cruising at this point. He had to make changes, Steve Cooper, at half-time, and he did. And they offered a little bit more urgency, a little bit more of a threat. They closed the ball down a little bit better, Forest, but Tottenham still had enough going forward. And I think, you know, when you look at what Liverpool have got, I think they've got Man City away, Chelsea away, and Chelsea at home. And you look at what Spurs have got, and they've got Southampton, Everton and Bournemouth. That result today, even though they are inconsistent, makes them favourites for top four.
Always best for a bad bunch, isn't it, for that fourth place? When you take a look at how things stand, Spurs, of course, sitting there 6 points clear now of Liverpool. They are favourites to get that last Champions League spot ahead of Jurgen Klopp's side.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I said to you a few months ago. I think they will do enough against the teams in the bottom half of the table to probably get themselves
right
into that top four, particularly with the others sort of falling away. Liverpool's inconsistency Chelsea are too far behind. Newcastle, who play tomorrow, look as if they're a little bit tired and they've lost a bit of the sparkle. And I think Spurs might just do it against those kind of teams that Don mentioned. They have pretty much been poor in the bigger games. Forest were not great. They did miss a penalty late on, Forest, but Ayew missed it. But yeah, they're heading towards the relegation fight. That's expected. But yeah, Tottenham will probably get in the top four as it looks.
I mean, good luck figuring this out, by the way. I mean, seriously. I mean, in some crazy ways, I'm thinking, OK, Liverpool's got Chelsea and they've got City, and I'm thinking, well... And then we go to Spurs and we look at the games they've got and you're like, well, they're going to beat these teams.
Right.
It's not been working that way. I mean, if I was to turn around, if you flicked it round and said Liverpool had those games at Spurs, well, Liverpool's lost to five of the bottom nine teams this year. So in some stupid way,
but
I'm thinking...
problem.
In some crazy way, I'm thinking the fact that it's supposedly tough games, maybe that might buck Liverpool's ideas up.
Right.
I mean, that's how much I'm stretching.
Get the straws that he's clutching for.
But, so you're sticking with what you said yesterday, Liverpool top four?
No, I'm changing again. I mean, honestly, good luck, seriously, figuring this out.
What do you reckon of the way that Conte handled Richarlison?
Perfect.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Go on then. You told me you should be playing. Go on then. You better play well. Well, in Richarlison's head, that's he's going right. Richarlison's going right, I'm going to show him.
Right.
And in Conte's head, he's going right. Go on then, show me. And if you don't, then I can go, hey, you were the one that wanted to play. You're the one that said this. So it's a winner all the way around. It's a great decision.
Does it not set a precedent, though, for players who aren't playing who should come out and say these sort of things?
No. How many players do that? Richarlison's wiring's a little different. It's not normal, and
right.
Sometimes it happens, and this is the perfect cure for it. They both win.
Yeah, because it was easier for him to do it today.
Right.
Not at Forest.
Home against Forest.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Home against Forest. The chances, still. The likelihood is they're going to win. Forest have been struggling, picked a few points up, but of late haven't been playing particularly well. So, yeah, it was a pretty easy one for him to make today.
Meanwhile, three wins in a row now for Graham Potter's Chelsea as they beat Leicester by 3-1. Feisty game. There's quite a lot of incidents within it. Overall, though, Chelsea getting the victory, getting it done, taking the 3 points back to London. Did they deserve it, Craig?
Yeah, I think they did, and I'm trying to remember all the incidents. I mean, João Félix...
It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. João Félix clipped the post, scored the goal, that was chopped off for offside, then he got caught in the ball.
Yep.
That allowed Leicester back in with a great strike, and I tell you, when Leicester got back in, just before half-time, Chelsea looked like they were going to crumble.
Kepa had to make a couple of big saves.
Kepa had to make some big saves. I thought there should have been at least one sending off for Leicester for the challenge early on.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why the penalty wasn't given on Fofana when I thought the elbow come out. That was a head-scratcher. But yeah, great goal from Kovacic, great finish. Far from easy.
It was a weird game.
Strange game, too many chances to remember. I can't remember all this.
Chelsea could have been, after about 35 minutes...
Keeper should never have been beaten here.
No. They could have been and should have been 3-0 up. Because Felix should have scored, not hit the post. And then the fact he was offside for the goal he got disallowed was just schoolboy error. So that should have been 3-0. The game should have been done.
By the way, that was brilliant from Fernandes and Havertz there.
But then by half-time, they probably should have been 2-1 down, Chelsea. Because they lost the goal and, as you said, Kepa made a couple of great saves. And then the second half... We were talking about it. At the second half, they were only 2-1 up. And...
Dewsbury Hall
had what an opportunity he had about 8 yards out, and he just completely mishit it, and it just trickled to Kepa. And then all of a sudden, Kovacic scores, and then by the end of the game, it's a comfortable win, but... This was all over the shop.
Modric scored as well in the second half, but it was offside just.
Yeah. So I suppose the big question is, what has changed for Chelsea?
They scored. Scored three goals.
But they're creating chances.
Two disallowed, and three scores.
Although they weren't defensively great today, Kepa did have to make some saves. I still think that shape is suiting the personnel better.
Okay.
Cucurella, Koulibaly, Fofana, Badiashio if he comes in, whoever. I think that's shape serving them better. Chilwell looked better. Loftus-Cheek played right wing back. Fernandes has picked up the Premier League quickly,
yes,
very quickly. I think Modric is still raw at times, does some good things.
We've got to give him credit, Potter, for playing Mudrick through the middle.
His pace.
Oh my goodness. Every time he picked it up and was running at them, you're like, oh no.
That's what you want though, isn't it? That's what we've been
absolutely
asking for from the Chelsea.
Yeah, but nobody expected him to go through the middle.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I thought he was a wide guy. I've never seen him play through the middle. Mm. So we've got to give Potter a lot of credit for that.
Don, let's talk about the red cards. As Craig said, a number of questionable calls within the early challenge on Joao Felix. I don't know why this didn't go to VAR.
Me neither. I thought it was reckless. It was over the top. It was violent conduct. It was everything that I think you want in a red card. Difficult to tell on the real angle in real time, but that one there, I mean, that is awful. You know, it's high down the side of the shin. Could have been a sort of shin breaker. Then he sort of wraps him around the ankle. I was stunned VAR didn't take a look at that. I thought that was a stonewall red.
Strange one, wasn't it? Because once you saw the replay, they're going to go to the monitor here.
That's just officials who have no... They'll tell you about the laws of the game till you're absolutely fed up listening about it, but they have no idea about the interpretation of a dangerous challenge half the time.
Yeah.
Because that's what that was. That started, as Don said, halfway up and then raked all the way down onto the ankle. It ticked every box. I mean, it's just bonkers.
What about the Kai Havertz one, where he gets the studs on the chest?
It's 100% red.
Yeah.
It completely follows through.
Straight.
I mean, Craig just said it. How somebody can look at this and not think that this is a straight red? Watch his leg. You talk about carrying through. My goodness. It's ridiculous.
So he should have the ability to stop there.
Your foot doesn't go that high.
Right.
It's an unnatural position.
It's how he collides with them. There's every chance that he's going to collide with them, even trying to recoil his leg because of the power he's using. But to actually follow through with your straight leg and put your studs in somebody's chest is 100%. He knows exactly what he's doing.
So things looking better for Chelsea. Meanwhile, in the late game, Manchester City, of course, closing the gap. Are you all right?
Week is up.
Closing the gap on Crystal Palace, who haven't had a shot on target in their last three matches now. It would be an Erling Haaland penalty that would prove to be decisive with 12 minutes to go. Just a reminder of what that means. As it stands then, City are 2 points off Arsenal at the top. This was a really hard watch, wasn't it?
It was a good game to have a nap.
It really was. It was that sort of time of day as well.
Haaland missed a chance in the first half from 6 yards. Or so, scooped it over. Mm.
But this isn't the first time we've seen City do this. Like, what's going on?
Well, they won. And they might win the Champions League playing this way, which is not as exciting and swashbuckling as it's been in recent years. And it is, actually, and I know Frank Leboeuf goes on about it a lot, how it is pretty boring.
Yeah.
And it was only really think about it, it was a Crystal Palace mistake was the difference between the sides. When they switch off from the corner kick, go to sleep, Gundogan picks it up and there's a stupid challenge. And they get a penalty, which Haaland slots away. That really was the difference. I mean, don't get me wrong. They never looked as if they were going to lose the game, City.
No, but there were times you thought, well, how are they going to break through here?
Yeah.
But Steve, when you've got Foden, Grealish, Haaland, Silva, all that attacking talent, how can it be so dull?
Because they have this thing in their head that, possession is more important. So when your mind's in just about possession for possession's sake, you're not trying to go forward at any sort of pace. And when you're Man City, the majority of teams you play are sitting back and getting men behind the ball. So if you don't move the ball quickly and you're going from side to side, then by the time you get to the edge of the box, there's nowhere to go. So to me, that's all they do. And even when the opposition on the odd occasion do come out and try and play against them, as soon as they win it back, they don't look forward. Everything is, let's keep it, let's let them all get back and then we'll start passing it around again. It's just monotonous.
I mean, if they lose the league this year, which is possible, and don't win the Champions League, I think because of the style and the sort of pedestrian elements of a lot of their games, there'll be a lot of questions coming his way.
Definitely.
A lot of questions, particularly with the signing of Haaland, particularly with the form and, chopping of the team around and Cancelo leaving as well and sort of De Bruyne been on the bench as he's been before and he was again today. There's a lot of pressure on him this year. Mm. But not that there's not usually, but I think even more so because
It looks stale, doesn't it?
I always like watching Man City, but I don't kind of like, I don't enjoy watching them.
Yeah. Don, are we being too harsh?
No, I feel the same. I think when you watch Man City, I wonder if it's in the players' heads, because you've got Erling Haaland at the top end of the pitch, who's just an absolute goal machine. But I think the area that he needs a lot of work on is his link-up play. And whether the system or the personnel don't quite trust them to link the play, they're more concentrated on getting, you know, their passes in and around Grealish or Foden or De Bruyne, and then trying to work that final ball for the final pass for Haaland. Maybe that's took an edge away from them. But you're right, when you watch them, we've seen City beat the likes of Watford 8, and we've seen sixes and sevens. At the minute, listen, I can remember Newcastle in 96 when they were 12 points clear and Man United had about 10 games to go and they won every single game 1-0 and won the title. So if you ask City fans, they're okay, but they're just a strange watch for the type of football that Guardiola normally plays.
It's almost like he wants to be more solid. I've talked about this at the back. You know, with when they had the ball today, they almost got to a back three, and then that's the kind of shape they have on possession, and then it changes to a back four when John Stones comes in. But you've got Stones on one side and Ake on the other. I mean, that's not... I know Walker was left on the bench today, came on. That's not the kind of full-backs that are personnel playing in those positions that Guardiola was using in the last couple of years. Mm. It's just not.
Yeah.
You're going to get a little bit from those guys, but you're not getting what you were getting from Walker, Cancelo and Zinchenko. So it's definitely been a sea change. It's almost like, you know, we were caught with our pants down too many times going forward. I want some more defensive...
So is that why he keeps telling all the fullbacks to get in the middle? Because I can't figure this out.
They didn't really do it today.
Stones was in the middle a lot.
Oh, yeah, he
was in the middle a lot.
Yeah.
And if I'm the opposition, I think I'm quite happy. Because if you're putting men in the middle, if you're adding Stones to Rodri and Gundogan as well, and you've got other players coming inside, if I'm the opposition, defensively I'm quite happy. You're right in the middle of the park where all the numbers are. I'm fine. What I don't want is leaving space wide for people like Grealish and Foden to run at me. So I'm quite happy if you want to load the middle.
But it's working.
Slow everything down.
Well, it's working.
Well, they're getting away with it.
To an extent, it's working at the moment.
Yeah, they've got Leipzig, of course, in the Champions League coming up this week. Meanwhile, for Crystal Palace, they're in trouble. Just 5 points out of the last 30 they've occurred, which means that they currently sit 12th in the table, which you would think would be all right. But look at how incredibly close it is. Obviously, we saw Leeds draw with Brighton today. Everton with a big, big win against Brentford takes them out of the relegation zone. Southampton sitting there at the moment with Leeds and West Ham. Don, it's so tight down there, isn't it?
It's incredible. I've been there myself, Dan, and when you're down there, you know, if you can get a win and a draw, even better, back-to-back wins, you can climb from being bottom of the league up to about 12th, and Palace are drifting, Leicester are drifting. I think West Ham, who are third bottom, might just be fine. I've got a pretty good idea, a hunch who's going to go down. I think that's Southampton, Leeds and Bournemouth, but you can't say for sure because, you know, the couple of performances that Bournemouth's put in, you give them a little bit of hope because of what they're doing. They're not getting battered every week. But there's teams drifting, as I said, Palace and Leicester worry me. But when you're down there, Dan, if you can nick a win, if you can nick a draw and put something together, if you've got like a little block of fixtures and you go, right, let's get a couple of wins in the next four games, it can take you so far up the league in terms of the positions, not in terms of numbers, because this is going to be tight from now to the end of the season.
It really is, isn't it? There's going to be a lot of nervous players, managers, fans between now and the end of the campaign.
They've almost all changed the manager. I mean, West Ham haven't, but Leeds have, Southampton have, Everton have.
You wonder what's going to happen with Vieira at the moment.
I think he'll be OK. I think they've had a struggle, as you mentioned, of late. I actually think Palace will be OK.
What about Leicester? What about Rodgers?
Leicester defensively.
1 point off the bottom.
Defensively, Leicester have had a shocker, and not just today, where they could have lost five or six. Could have scored as well. I mean, they're a threat going forward, but they're a shambles at the back. And they're in free fall. I mean, proper free fall. Knocked out of the cup by Championship Blackburn. You know, beaten again today.
Madison limped off today.
Yep. Mm. It was actually a bad challenge on Madison, so he looked as if he was struggling. But yeah, you know, I have no idea at the moment. I think Forrest will get dragged back down further into it. That's going to go right to the wire for them.
Yeah.
He's going to be chopping and changing his team. He's got so many players to pick from, and he's got so many conundrums to try and get the right team on the field to get the right result, just to get them safe. And at the moment, they're struggling. So yeah, Maybe up to Palace. I think Palace will be okay, though.
Just a reminder, next weekend is all about the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. They're live on ESPN+. It starts with Vincent Kompany returning to Manchester City. That's on the Saturday and Sunday. Sheffield United, Blackburn, Brighton, Grimsby, and it's Manchester United, Fulham. Extra Time is always available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd Spy, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Borussia Dortmund's fine run of victories in Germany came to an end on Saturday as they couldn't manage a 2-2 draw against Schalke. Schalke's here to give us his views on this game in a moment. But first, let's hear from Edin Terzic.
Edin, the winning run in the Bundesliga comes to an end. On Derby Day, no less, that must hurt. How would you analyse the game today?
So we said it before the game that there are two ways to play this game tonight. There's the way that they want it, a bit wild, a bit emotional, a bit passionate, or if we play our football. And this is what we did, especially in the first half. We played some decent stuff. It was very hard for them to get on the ball. It was very hard for them to press us. And we had some really good opportunities in the first half to even get 2-0 up. But then in the second half, we did what they wanted. So it was an open game. We opened the door again. We've been two times up, and then still we concede counterattacks. And yeah, this is how it goes. Now two times in this week, we had a disappointment, but I think it was totally different on Tuesday. On Tuesday, the opponent was much better than us, and it was a deserved defeat. But today we played some good game, but we didn't kill it. And that's the thing that makes us a bit disappointed. Very disappointed and frustrated tonight.
To be only still 2 points off Bayern Munich at the top, given that you said you were starting at a minus going into 2023, that's still something that must please you, just not right now.
For sure, it's still a good situation we are at, but we could have it better tonight, and that's frustrating because we are getting such questions. Are you fighting for the trophy? We want to improve our game, and this is the reason why we are so humble, because we know that we are not on that level at the minute. We have to show it. We showed some really good stuff, but again, we opened the door for the opposition, and if we want to achieve the maximum in this season, we have to stop it and play our game for 90 minutes.
And in terms of catching up with Archie after the game, what does it all mean? Well, as I said, 2 points now separate Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund at the top of the table. Let's start, shall we, with that Dortmund draw, Shaq. Where did it get wrong? Where did it go wrong for them today?
I thought they allowed Schalke to dominate the second half. I thought they allowed emotion into the game, which Terzic spoke about there in his post-match interview. I thought they handled the emotion of the first half wonderfully well. Sat off to start with, just allowed the game to take shape, and Dortmund were the better team in the first half. But you knew that Schalke would come out in the second half. You knew what to expect, but it wasn't that same approach. They played on the front foot, they allowed room in behind, crowd got involved, Schalke got the equalizer, and in truth, even though Guerrero then makes it 2-1, and then Bino Gittens had a glorious opportunity to make it 3-1, I thought Schalke were the better team in the second half. And as a result, a 2-2 draw and a share of the spoils was fair.
How difficult is it, Stevie, in these situations where you want to go in and you want to control the game, but that derby atmosphere kind of takes over?
It's really down to concentration, because when you get yourself in the position where you're in control of the game, if you keep your concentration, keep doing what you're doing, keep listening in your head to the messages that the manager gave you, then you should be fine. That whole emotion is taken out of the game. But when you lose concentration and then you let them back in it, then you have to start again. And they couldn't get going again.
And of course, a significant result regarding the title race. Borussia Dortmund put together that fantastic run. But Bayern Munich back in their stride, Jack. But goodness me, they did let Augsburg back into it on more than one occasion.
Yeah, and you give Augsburg the start that they did, but I thought Bayern Munich dominated throughout. Again, kind of showing a soft side to them in conceding even two free as the game went on. But they just have so many tools going forward. They just overpowered Augsburg. That's the challenge for everybody in the Bundesliga. How you deny Bayern Munich when they're in this kind of form and show this kind of strength. The one thing, I guess, that you somehow have to try to spin into a positive from a Dortmund perspective is that Bayern is still in the Champions League. You now only play weekend to weekend. Maybe that catches up with them. But ordinarily, come turn of the year, when if Bayern Munich get their noses in front, it's hard to deny them.
Pavard took his goals well today.
Oh, really, really well. The second in particular, I thought it was creative. Somehow he finds room in the box and found a volley that I'm not quite sure where he did. The first I thought was simple, just following in from the set piece. Sadio Mane just helps that back into the danger area. Pavard, right place, right time. The second was, of course, the far more difficult, the far more impressive. He just peels off into space. Somehow the ball comes to him. How you control that, I'm not quite sure. What a volley that is.
High boot, Burley.
Sorry?
High boot.
No, I was okay with that
you're
one.
You're okay with that one? No, that's good.
There was no violence. Right. But, you know, you look at the Dortmund squad and you look at the Bayern squad and it's chalk and cheese. In fact, you look at Bayern squad and put it alongside Man City squad, which we always kind of talk about as the benchmark sometimes when everybody's fit. But we saw in midweek against PSG the players that they had on the bench. We've seen the changes that they've been able to make today. So it is going to be really tough for Borussia Dortmund to go all the way with them, because they're probably not going to give up many points, if any. Mm. And that means Dortmund are going to have to be flawless. And you look at their defence, Hummels in today, they're not great at keeping clean sheets against the better side, so it's looking like Bayern are going to take this by the scruff of the neck and run away with it.
That's it for you, Shaka.
Well, that's great.
One and done.
Anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm good.
No,
I'm ready to go.
All right, well, we're ready for you to go as well. just a reminder, the Clásico, of course, live on ESPN Plus, April the 1st, a massive game then in Munich as Bayern take on a Borussia Dortmund. Be sure to join us for that. Meanwhile, of course, matches continue tomorrow. Freiburg, Hoffenheim, Werder Bremen, Bayer Leverkusen and Wolfsburg against Union Berlin, all back-to-back on ESPN+. For more reaction to what we saw in Germany today, be sure to go over to our YouTube channel and don't forget to subscribe to ESPN FC. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Real Madrid had to come from behind to beat Espanyol. It was Jose Lu that put them in the lead early on at the Santiago Bernabeu, but then a nice individual goal from Vinicius Junior, coupled with a good finish from Militao. Asensio scored late on, saw Real Madrid take all 3 points and more on this game. Let's hear from Carlo Ancelotti.
With Carlo Ancelotti, congratulations for the win.
Thank you.
This is the reaction that you were expecting from your team?
Well, yes, it was a good reaction, but that's how we hope to act, not to react. We did a mistake in a long ball. We conceded the goal, and after that we were able slowly to be back in the game, to equalize the game, and to score a fantastic goal with Militao. Second half, the intensity of the game was not so high, but we had a good control until the end.
It's good to have this version of Vinicius back as well.
Yeah, Vinicius played well, scored a fantastic goal, similar to the goal against Liverpool. His attitude was really good. He was focused on the game, he did well, and so this is what we expect from him.
It's a key week, the one that is starting. You have the Champions League game that you have to close to go through the quarterfinals, and El Clásico. Do you have the team where you want it?
Yeah, I think so. We have no problem for this. I think that mentally, as a motivation, we are going to be at the top for this game. The squad is used to prepare this kind of game at the best, and for sure we will be at the best because there are really important games, both of them.
Thank you very much, Carlo.
Grazie.
So this is how it sounds after that victory for Real Madrid. 6 points and separate them and Barca at the top of the table. Barca, of course, in action against Athletic Club on Sunday. For more on this, let's welcome in Ali Moreno. I suppose at the moment, from a Real Madrid perspective, a win is a win, Ali.
Yeah, you'll take it. Certainly so. And given the negative momentum going into this match, the struggles, the pressure, the criticism, it was important to get 3 points. Now, I think something that Carlo Ancelotti just said there is really important, in that, yes, he liked the reaction of his team, but that he would want action so that they didn't have to react to anything, so that right away from the start of the game, they were in control and therefore would be able to then win this game because of how much better they are than Espanyol. But 10, 15 minutes in, it had been all Espanyol all the time. And if there was ever, I guess, a game in which you scored too early, it was this for Espanyol. They scored in the 8th minute, had another chance a couple minutes later by in a header by Vinicius Sousa. Thibaut Courtois comes up with a save. It could have been 2-0. In fact, it should have been 2-0. It wasn't. And then Espanyol they just couldn't help themselves. Their natural reaction was to protect. Natural reaction was to get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And when they did that, they allowed Real Madrid, that hadn't been all that great up until that moment, to take possession of the ball, to go on the attack. And no better example than that than the Vinicius goal, where he's essentially allowed to walk inside the 18-yard box. There's a lot of players from Espanyol around him, but nobody's defending. And this is what Espanyol did a lot today. They had a lot of numbers behind the ball, but not enough pressure on the ball in deep areas. Real Madrid took over, their quality took over. 3 points, and it's 3 points that are very important because I think it lays a path by which Real Madrid can think that the comeback is possible. Maybe Barcelona drops points against Athletic Bilbao away from home tomorrow. And if that's the case, then you're looking into El Clásico with a whole lot more optimism than you were last week.
Of course, before El Clásico is the little matter of Liverpool in the Champions League. Just a reminder how things stand. Real Madrid 40-1 on to advance. Liverpool 16-1. Liverpool, of course, losing today against Bournemouth. They should be fine, shouldn't they, Ali?
They should be, they will be, they're gonna be fine, especially if Mohamed Salah has taken a penalty. That they'll be fine. Look, I look at Real Madrid. I don't concern myself with Real Madrid in Champions League, and certainly when they have a 3-goal lead. Today, because of the lack of intensity in the second half that Ancelotti just mentioned in that interview, the truth is that Real Madrid didn't really have to spend a whole lot of energy in the second half. He was allowed to make some changes around the 60-65th minute. Modric came off, Toni Kroos came off. Benzema did not play today because they're saving him for the game against Liverpool. So all signs point to the fact that Real Madrid should be dominant at home and should be able to get through, even though Liverpool have improved. I don't think it will be enough. And certainly when you think about what we have seen from Real Madrid in Champions League so far, You have to imagine that a similar performance would be too much for Liverpool.
After the United game, I was trying to spin it, Stevie, that maybe a little bit of hope, Real Madrid struggling. It's difficult to spin anything but a Real Madrid win, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wasn't buying what you were trying to sell me after the United game. And so after this latest debacle, shall we say?
Yes.
I mean, are there odds? I mean,
yes, there are. I've just shown them.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I won't look.
40-1 on.
Because there was no point to look, because it doesn't matter. It could, it could be a 1,000,000-1.
I'm not looking.
It doesn't matter. What's the odds?
I don't look at them.
You can put whatever you want.
Right.
It's not happening.
Listen, they're in a situation. We did have that discussion after the battering of Man United. Is it possible to go there and replicate that quality going forward? I think when all things are said and done, and having seen them today struggle with Billings and Solanke up front, it'll be a thing to go to the Bernabeu and not actually get battered, rather than going there and scoring 3 or 4, which they need. It'll be going there and not get embarrassed. Yeah. Let's not forget, this is a team early on in the group stages, went to Naples and got absolutely humiliated in Naples. So, I'm not expecting any miracles at all.
Ali, we'll say thank you very much. Ali, of course, will be back with us tomorrow to focus on Barcelona against Athletic Club. Then, of course, next weekend, it's all about El Clásico. Barcelona against Real Madrid next Sunday. Coverage starts on ESPN Plus at 3 p.m. Eastern. Now, if you're on the West Coast, be sure to go to the watch party in Los Angeles at Tom's. Hugo Sanchez, and I believe, forget Hugo Sanchez, what's he ever done? Hercules Gomez will be there as well. Be sure to check it out.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Don will be back, Craig and Stevie as well, to answer your questions on Extra Time. Stay with us. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig and Stevie with us here in the studio. Don Hutches joins us as well. For Stevie, is this the most confusing, unpredictable Liverpool team you've watched?
Aye, easily. Absolutely easily, no question. I have no idea what to expect
right
anymore.
Did you get up for this game? Because it was early, wasn't it?
Aye, 7:30.
Oh, no.
I was glad I got up for it, I tell you, when it... Half time, I was like, did I go back to bed?
Oh. Did Eleanor at least give you breakfast? Did you have a full-on full English?
A bit later on.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's got to get his daily cholesterol. Yeah. Stodge. Got to get his stodge.
It took a little bit of edge off the defeat.
What was it? What did you serve up?
Sausage, egg, rolls.
Oh, lovely. Very
cup
nice.
Cup of tea, magic. Yeah. Oh. A bit of bacon in one of them.
Yeah. Serious question. In the morning, have you ever not done that and had like a yogurt or something?
Or a bit of smoked salmon, something.
Smoked salmon?
Why would they do that? Yogurt. Are you in the lab?
What about smoked salmon on toast?
What's a yogurt ever got anybody anywhere?
As opposed to bacon and sausage. Yes. Stevie, what made this good question? What made you more angry? Manchester United or today?
Manchester United.
Still?
Still, yeah. No, Man United was a full on.
Yeah.
This was just, what a show.
Don, can you empathise with Stevie getting angry when Liverpool won?
No, you lost me for a second there. What's happened?
Yeah, do you want to explain your emotions, how they work?
No, I was trying to explain. So Dan was asking me why I was getting angry. So I was getting angry every time we scored.
Yes.
Right?
He
was
what? Getting
because
angry.
It was like, because it was like, it was that.
Right.
Right? And I was trying to explain to Dan that every time I scored a goal...
Angry.
Yeah, every time I scored a goal, I did the same thing. I was angry. It was like, followed by expletives.
Right.
So that's why I was angry.
Take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting weirder by the day.
It's getting very weird. I mean, only Stevie could be angry about Liverpool winning 7 and not too bothered about losing 1-0.
Oh, I wouldn't say I was bothered.
Craig, are Chelsea playing any different these last few games, or are they finally starting to just put away their chances?
Well, they changed the shape a little bit. I don't know if it's just the last couple of games, but Koulibaly looks a bit better in the middle of that back three.
Yeah.
Cucurella on the left. Today it was Fofana on the right. Today, Stevie was talking about in the show, Modric's had a different position through the middle. João Felix is a bit frustrating because it's in there. And some of the things he does are really good. But the end product for him is not there at the moment.
Yeah.
I just
Will that come? Because like obviously João Felix came with a massive price tag to Atleti, never really set the world alight.
Well, they'd better come, and I'd be definitely going back to Atletico Madrid.
And then Simeone, of course, was blamed for not using him the right way. And now we're in a situation where he's at Chelsea and he's getting the chance, but he's not really taken.
Yeah, well, he scored the goal, but he was offside, and that, again, was just down to his eagerness to get in there.
Yeah.
Havertz was a great finish, in all fairness to him, from the ball from Fernandez, so I think they're just gelling a little bit better,
yeah.
And he's found a shape that's kind of worked for him at the moment with this personnel.
Don, you've banged on about how much you love João Felix.
I do like him because I'm with Craig. It's like I want him to do well because I know there's an unbelievable player in there. But I think they've all tried it, Dan. I think Antonio Conte tried it for one or two games, changing the shape. Then he realised with the personnel who were best suited to a three. Sarri tried it. Tuchel tried it. Lampard tried it. Listen, this team and this personnel, when you've got Chilwell and you've got Reece James when he's fit, they can only play as wing-backs because they're so good at going forward. Why would you even try them playing in a back four? So I think he's realised, Graham Potter, he might have took a lot of flack off pundits, he might have took a lot of flack off Chelsea fans. Now he's playing three centre-backs, they look a better team.
Chilwell's celebration was good, wasn't it?
What, the ears?
Yeah.
Was he getting stick?
Yeah, he's getting
didn't stick. Didn't
hear
that, didn't he? Yeah. What did he do? Oh, that one.
Yeah, because of the stick he's getting from the fans.
Yeah, see that all that. I don't want to, you know, don't celebrate against your old team and all that. Get over there and
wind
them
up. Yeah, get over it and have it.
Yeah, have it.
What's more likely, Stevie? Arsenal winning the Premier League or City winning the Champions League?
That's tight.
Is it? I don't think it's that tight.
Gosh, it's either Arsenal or Man City.
Yes.
Right.
Well, hold on.
Let me see. You're all jumping in quick, aren't you? You finished yet? Let me know when you finished.
All right. There's two teams.
Right. Thank you.
What are the two teams?
In the Champions League.
Yes.
You could argue for Napoli, Real Madrid, and Man City. So there's three teams. So Don, tell me the odds.
You've made some sense there, Stevie.
What you're saying is, Stevie, it's Arsenal.
Well, you're just proving my point.
Right.
That's why it's tight.
Why?
It's a tight decision.
This isn't proving any point.
Oh, yes.
What's the point?
The point is it's a tight decision.
Right.
Yeah, we get that.
Well, because there are multiple teams that could win the Champions League, right?
Right.
But there's only two teams that are going to win the Premier League.
Right. So that's going
to be... Some would argue that they'll win the Premier League because of their experience.
Okay.
So which one is
it? But some would argue that they'll win the Champions League because today, they didn't play De Bruyne because they're trying to win the Champions League.
Have you got
the
answer this before breakfast tomorrow? God's sake, man.
It's not an easy answer.
Arsenal.
What's more likely?
I know, you're a parrot.
Well, it's good. Well, by your logic, it's got to be Arsenal.
By your
logic, Stevie, it's got to be Arsenal.
Yeah.
There wasn't logic. That was just waffle.
It was getting there.
I'll not even bother. I'll give you an answer straight away. And whether, it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong.
That would help.
Why don't we get a clock? And then you've got 5 seconds to answer. Right. How would we do that? Would that keep
that's
you
a good
happy?
Idea.
Okay. Right. Is that enough time for you?
Oh, I can make it enough time.
Well, good.
Depends what you want, eh?
For Dom,
I'm very accommodating.
Percentage chance, the following team's finishing fourth in the Premier League. Okay, get ready?
Yep.
Liverpool.
Yep.
Yeah, percentage. Oh,
what's the percentage
now? Sorry. Spurs,
30. 30.
Oh, that's not leaving you much score.
That's too high.
30 for Liverpool.
Yep.
Spurs.
50.
Oh.
Not much left.
Chelsea.
10 and 10.
10 and 10.
Chelsea, 10 for Newcastle.
Do you agree, Stevie?
Yes.
You got four more seconds.
I was actually
quick.
Four more seconds. Sorry. Yes, 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 and yes.
The buzzer's not
there's
gone
me five
yet.
Seconds.
Don, if you could travel back in time to witness play any one soccer match in history, which match would you choose and why?
What a question that is. Remind me of the year when... Was it Germany, Italy in the World Cup? Was that 82 or 86?
Was that on your
3-2,
video?
3-2, Rummenigge.
No, Germany, Italy. That was Brazil, Italy.
Brazil, Italy. Was it? I was thinking the German game when Rummenigge scored two. Was that a Champions League final? World Cup final?
Buzzer's gone. You've got 5 seconds.
I don't know. Stevie, help me. I've only got 5 seconds.
Right,
Stevie. I'm trying to think of the game, Don. I can't even think of it.
Okay, you go, Stevie.
See, I'm just going to throw a little spanner in.
Do whatever you want. Yeah.
See, part of the problem is games are so memorable because you don't know what's coming. So when you know what's coming, it's not the same.
Okay.
Like Newcastle-Liverpool, when Stan Collymore scored the fourth goal in the last kick of the game, right?
Yes.
I mean... Oh, well, what a game to watch. Exciting, the whole thing, right?
Right.
But when you know the score, it's completely different.
If you could go back and replay the FA Cup final against Wimbledon or the 89 game against Arsenal, which one would you do?
Whoa.
Ooh, that's
not
test.
Getting in 5 seconds.
Oh. Well, I'd have to say the Arsenal game.
Right.
Because it's for the league.
Yeah.
Well, FA Cup was great, but...
Maybe that
you want
ball
to win the league.
Maybe Michael Thomas wouldn't lob that ball over your head, eh?
Well, you obviously never saw the game.
Oh. Not today, Craig, not today.
So well, that no, wasn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I'd have to say that.
Was that you?
What about you?
The Arsenal game, that's... Brazil, Italy, World Cup, 82.
There you go, the old video.
Who would you play for, Brazil or Italy?
Oh, Italy, Paolo Rossi.
Yep.
Yeah, play for the team that lost.
Why would you do that?
Italy won. They won the World Cup that year.
Yeah.
Italy won. 3-2. Because they won the World Cup.
Of course he would. He said, who would you play for? Why would you play for Brazil then if Brazil got beat? You said Italy.
I know.
Right, exactly. I just said to him.
Why is you making
that stupid
angry?
Question? How stupid is the question?
Oh, you're having a go
what
at
team
him?
Do you want?
I thought you were having a go at me.
What team do you want to play for? Oh, I'll play for the team
what's
that
happening?
Lost.
What's happening?
Well, he's not.
Right.
Well, the problem with him is he doesn't listen, and then all of a sudden he catches something and he thinks, yeah. That's his problem.
Have you been to the doctor recently?
Yeah, right.
For Stevie, what was your favourite MLS city to visit?
Oh.
Toronto used to have a good time with Paul, didn't you?
Don't answer it for
me. Aye.
Yeah?
Aye. Toronto.
Yeah, I remember him in Stories of Toronto.
Yeah, me and Paul, we used to meet up with Morris Johnson.
Yep.
Aye. Yeah. Toronto. Yeah. Because we didn't always go out, you know. Most of the time we stayed in.
Nobody asked.
No, well he's kind of thinking because I'm trying to think what other places we went out because we didn't go out.
Right.
We always went back to the hotel. And then got all the staff into my suite.
Yep.
Suite?
Yep. And we had a good time. Had a good laugh.
Boss.
Sweet laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a story that someone bought non-alcoholic beer one time into your suite?
I don't remember.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different story.
Yeah, that wouldn't be allowed.
No, I was going to say. that's it. Don, thank you very much. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Stevie.
Good boys.
ESPN FC will be back on your screens.
What team do you want to play for?
Oh, I'll play for the team we got beat.
All right, why are you so narky today?
Well, I'm not narky.
Quite narky.
What are you saying?
Quite narky.
Just checking he's listening.
Sorry?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.